Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Father, we pray for the people that are hurting right now, Father, and the people that are recuperating, Lord Jesus Christ, your people. Barbara Story, Lord Father, who is recuperating, we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, to continue just rain down, Lord Father, your blessings upon her life. Heal her, Lord Jesus Christ. For all those that are hurting, Lord Father, millions that are hurting, Lord Father, the pastors that are abroad, the missionaries that are abroad, we ask that you be with us now in the name of Jesus Christ. We all say, amen. Well, there was an ad in the paper saying, hey, listen, we need a job. We need somebody to work at a zoo. And who wants to work at a zoo? Many people don't want to work at a zoo because they feel like the elephant's going to trample over them or do something. They got to pick up the poop, whatever, you know, I don't know. But what happened was this guy applied for this job at the zoo, and he says, listen, man, we need a temporary ape because the ape that we got, he's long gone. He's not even here no more. So we need you to put this costume on so that you can pretend you're an ape, right? And this guy goes, all right, I'll do it for some extra bucks, you know, put the ape suit on. So the first day he puts his ape suit on, and he's in the zoo, and he's just like in the corner, all shy. Second day he starts getting a little confidence. He's like... The third day, I mean, he's swinging from the vine. He's getting his groove on. He's saying, you know, I like this job, man. I'll make some more money. And so this guy was, like, really into it. Well, he was so into it that he got on his vine, and he just swung right across the other side of the gate, the lion's den, you know, where the lions are. So he was, like, he was excited. He was like, what's going on? And then he sees a lion comes out, and he's like roaring. Rrr. You know, the pride. They got pride in them, so they're just roaring. And the guy was just like, holy smokes, what am I going to do now, you know? And the lion starts getting closer to him, and he starts, you know, getting more shivery. He starts getting more scared, and then the lion's going to do his big old pride roar, you know? And then the guy looks at him, he's like, he was going to say, get me out of here, get me out of here. I'm not even an ape, I'm not even an ape. But the lion goes, be quiet, dummy, you're going to get us both in trouble. Man, you know, it's so funny to us because sometimes we're like, yeah, I'm a Christian, man. I go to First Bap. I go to La Familia Cristiana. I'm a Christian, man. Hallelujah. They start saying hallelujah. And they start praising God. And then when David Benton comes out and he sings and they're like, hallelujah. Man, I'm on cloud 9. I'm out of this league. I'm in God's zone. Hallelujah. And then when we leave these gates, we're just like, totally forget what's going on. We just start getting in our car. We go in and, what do you mean the bill's done? What do you mean the bill? We have to pay the bill. Didn't you pay it last week? Goshly. What do you mean? And start like going over our problems at home and start fronting the situations that may come our ways at home. And we have like, if we're in grade school, we got all these big exams and we don't even know anything if you're like me. But, and then we got this, a husband of yours who doesn't even listen, which is sometimes me, you know, and then you got all these problems accumulating in our lives. And then, you know, it seems like we forget we're in God's zone. Seems like we forget we're in cloud 9. That's what happens sometimes as Christians. Well, Joshua faced the same thing. Joshua, the great soldier, oh, who took people, oh, and he said, I'm going to go. I'll go, Moses. I'll lead the people into the promised land. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. And he starts rolling up the troops. The troops are behind him, and they're like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. And they face the waters. The waters like in Yosemite Lake. They go, whoa. Have you ever seen them? That's why I took my wife the first date we went to Yosemite, and I was like, oh, you know, I felt so strong as I was taking my future wife to the Yosemite waters. When I got close to the waters, I'm like, don't get too close. Don't get too close. It's all scary because it's really rocky. Well, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 3, they got to this place, the Jordan River, and if you see the Jordan River online and Google it, it's like a little river. But in times of harvest, it flows all the way up, and it starts going really fast. And at this time, I could see it just going fast. And I could see it, the water's all the way up. And they're just like, how am I going to cross this river? And everybody's looking at, how are you going to do it? I don't know how I'm going to do it. But let's see what the Word of God says. How am I going to get through the situation in my life? How am I going to get through this illness that I'm going through? What am I going to go through? How am I going to do it? How am I going to have faith to step onto the other ledge? And Joshua faced the same thing. Shall we learn something from Joshua this morning? Shall we take it home, put it in our pocket, and take it out and remember it? Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. I remember when I was traveling down from Cal Baptist, I was trying to get in that school, man, and I was like, I was just like praying to God from 4 hours, I don't mean 4 hour drive, every single word I said, not I, but Christ. Not I, but you, because of what you have done. Not because of what I have done. As soon as I pulled into my driveway saying it all the way 4 hours, they called me from the school and says, come on in, let's go, get your bags and come back. I was like, that's good. Amen. I got my bags and I left. Not I, but Christ. Christ does that for you. Christ did that for them. The Lord does that for you. You know, you go through situations in life. My son's going away from the Lord. My wife is going haywire, how they say in the army. My husband is going crazy. He's getting midlife crisis. What am I supposed to do with him? Well, the Bible has something to say about that. Let's open up our Bibles in chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Crossing the Jordan. The Word of God says, every morning, Joshua and the Israelites set out from Shittim, and they went to the Jordan where they camped there before crossing over. And after 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God, and the priests who are the Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. Since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. He says, you've never gone this way. So watch out. How many of us as Christians have always felt like that before? Hey, I've never done it that way before. I don't know how it's going to be. I mean, you should see when I deal with like high school kids, sometimes they're like, they think college is far and they've never been that way before, and some don't even want to cross over the venture and go and get their education, and some men don't want to leave their jobs for 20 years because they haven't been that way before, and some of us are afraid to go to a next level because we're afraid to go that route. We have never been there before. And Joshua felt the same way too. I've never been there before. And as long as you have a beating heart, you're going to come across things in your life where you're going to have to go a different route. You're going to have to feel a different vibe. You're going to have to go and do some challenge that God has put upon your heart. I don't care if you're 2 years old or 80 or 90. God's going to have a challenge for every single one of us. Whether it be a death in our family tragedy, whether it be like, Abraham, get up and get out of here. You got to leave. But the thing is, we got to be able to say, God, you take the wheel, not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. The Word of God says this. Follow along. Joshua told the people. Verses 5. He told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Get ready and prepare yourself. I love when I'm a chaplain at football, and I love when I talk to the kids and I say, get ready because we're going to take the field and we're going to take the victory. But I forget to tell them to consecrate themselves because they go out there sometimes saying foul languages. You know, they go out there sometimes saying, oh, yes, yes, and they start doing saying foul languages. So I had something going say, if you guys don't say no bad language, I'm going to buy you guys pizza. And all year I keep them, that's the challenge, that's the carrot I dangle. Because, you know, if I could get them to stay holy unto the Lord, I know that God will bless them. And they did. 1 year they went undefeated, and the other year they went 8-2. And I'm not saying that because you do a certain thing that you're going to be, you know, holy and God's going to look upon that. It's just that your heart was so motivated for that challenge, going that new route, taking it against the grain, being not mediocre or not being, you know, just regular people. It's, you know, just taking it out of the ordinary, saying, God, You have my life. I give you everything. You take control of my situations. You take control of my family. You take control of my job. You take control of my kids. You take control of all the situations that I have, and I'm going to lay it before the altar and say, not I, but Christ, because I can't deal with this no more. I can't deal with this anymore. I can't do it no longer on my own. And that's a mentality that Christians need to have these days now. We got to say, I can't do this no more. I can't do this no more. Why do you want to try to do everything yourself? Why are you always trying to do everything on your own? God just want to help you. God's going to be there for us. And when Pastor Renee gets on your nerves, not I, but Christ. Christ can take care of it. And when Pastor don't want to wash those dishes, you got to be praying to God. And God will make me wash those dishes. God will put it in my heart to wash them dishes. God wants you to go a different route. Take it extraordinary. Go out there and preach the gospel. You know how you do it? Stand in line at the grocery store. You know how you do it? Buying something at Walmart, discounted price. Buy something at Target. Buy something. Go in there and talk. Man, people could see it all over your face. This guy's different, man. That brother Joe, that sister, man. Different, man. What's wrong with them people, man? They're so excited. They're so excited about life. Where do you go? What do you do? What's so excited about your life? And it's not I, but Christ is in my heart. Christ made a difference. He changed my life. When I was a nobody, when I was a wretched, lost person, God changed my life. God made me who I am now. Trust me, if you would have met me 7, 8 years ago, you would have been like, that guy never preached the gospel. My wife was a total nerd, and I was a total different person. And somehow God crossed avenues, and He just predestined this wife for me, and predestined the wife for you, and the husband for you, and your child. It looks just like you. He has your face. You know, God did that because He loves you. And you say, man, why am I going through this problem? Why am I going through this situation? Well, 1 Peter 4:12 says about it. He goes, you know what? Read it with me, and let's go with it, because it's an amazing verse. Everyone who's going through situations may see God is not looking down upon me. God doesn't have favor on me. Look at the situations that I'm going through. The Word of God says this. Follow along. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. Do not be surprised that you're going through this turmoil right now. Don't be surprised. It's cool. Joshua, tell me, when he tried to cross the river, you think it was something like crossing the little puddle at your house? No. It was a river, and he was in serious awe. He was like, what's going on? How am I going to cross this river? How am I going to get through this situation? How am I going to go, how am I going to make amends with my husband? How am I going to restore my family? God, be with me. Show me the way. This is what he said. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange is happening to you. As though nobody knows what you're going through. Sometimes we're embarrassed to say, this is the situations that I'm going through. Sometimes we're embarrassed to go to our neighbor in our church and say, pray for me. This is my situation. I'm struggling with this habit, or I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Can you really pray for me? Don't just tell me you're going to pray for me. Lay hands upon me. Tell me something. Give me some encouragement. Please read me the scripture. Read me what Jesus said. What did Jesus do when he was tempted out in the wilderness? It is written. He didn't do nothing miraculously and poof, the situation is gone. He didn't do something. He did something so that we could all follow his model. It is written. When the enemy wants to lie to you and say, hey, you know what, you're not saved. Yes, I am saved. Yes, I am saved. The Bible says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus risen from the dead, I shall be saved. It is written. It is written that I am justified by faith, not by works, but by grace of God. It is written, the mercy of God is upon me, and I am strong because he is with me. And if he is with me, Paul said, who can be against me? Satan's always trying to throw those doubts in your head, in our heads, and trying to lie to you and try to tell you ain't worth nothing. Try to tell you that your wife don't love you. Well, all she does is cook for you, and all she does is clean your clothes. That's me. She loves me. Oh, yes, she does. She just gets mad. She just gets mad at me. She just gets, you know, but it's okay. Hey, we're going to go through situations in life where we got to say, hey, we got to go a different route, my brother, my sister. We got to go a different route, and we got to believe that God's going to be with us. Let's turn back to, let me finish this second verse. There's something strange happened. But rejoice, you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Man, when I go through the mountains, and man, when I go through the valleys, praise be Yeshua. Praise be to the God Almighty who had favor upon me and looked down upon me and gave me comfort and gave me joy when I was down in the pits and when nobody looked upon me and gave me a dollar or 50 cents or even a job. God looked upon me and gave me favor and found favor in my life. And God does that to his people because he loves us. He cares for us. He's merciful God. And if you don't believe that right now, it's because you're stubborn. God loves you. No matter what you do in this world, God's going to love you. He just wants to work with you. He wants to work with me too. The Word of God says this. Back in Joshua. Follow along with me, please. How to cross the river? Not I, but Christ. How can I move forward? Not I, but Christ. Our great challenges? You have not passed this way before. I've never done this way before. That's the challenge that Christ has put in our hearts sometimes. Not I, but Christ. The great miracle in verses 7. Follow along. And the Lord said to Joshua, to the day I will begin to exalt you. Today I will begin to exalt you. Oh, what a beautiful verse. Today, O Joshua, you prepared yourself. You came humbly. You came to the foot of the cross, and you've given me everything you got. You've given me your situations, and today I have found mercy over you, and today I have blessed you. Prepare yourself, because today is a blessing coming. I will exalt you. God says, not the first one, but the last. Wait. In due time, you'll be exalted. Maybe you've been working in the library for the last past year. Wait a minute. Kick back. Doesn't matter. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. Wait up. Don't be sad because God gave you a little job. Don't be sad. God's going to give you a bigger job. And then I became an extended session worker. And then God, in due time, put me a Sunday school leader. And then in due time, God put me in a Sunday school director. Not only that, take it out of context. Put it in your family. My son didn't talk to me no more. He was mad at me because I chose something over him. And I shouldn't have done. I made a mistake. But I found grace in God's eyes. And I'm going to begin to make amends with my son or my daughter. And God found favor over me. And he started working with him. I started working with him. And now we talk. And now he writes me every holiday. And now not only he writes me, but he comes over. And he buys his mama a gift. I found favor over the Lord. And that's what God does to us. When we take a little bit and we're honorable with just a little bit, he blesses us with so much in abundance. And that's in your life. Put it into context. We took it historically. We took it how we can use it contextually. And we can say, God, I'm turning around giving you the blessings. It is not I, but. And I want you to say it all the way home. It is not I, but Christ in me, who does the work in me. That's the great miracle. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Gishites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take yourselves 12 men and tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of his feet will bear the ark of the Lord of the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down upstream shall be streamless. And they crossed over the Jordan with dry land. And you know, when water crushes over the land, it creates a mildew, creates clay, creates a mud. But they crossed over in dry land because they believe in God. And you know what? We scream, "I believe." And we scream, "Hallelujah." But do you really believe in God inside your heart? Well, you got to rest the problem not in your hands. And mothers love to take the problems. And they love to make everything right. They love to solve things. My wife is a solver. She goes, "What is the problem? Okay, this is a solution." I go, no. But mothers love to do that. And I don't care if you're mad at me right now for saying this. But mothers love to solve their problems with their daughter and their husbands. And they love to solve every problem. And I meant it to you. I give you all the hearts, because what a mother does, a man cannot, I can't understand. Because she went through something so amazing when she gave birth to that son or daughter. But Christ is the one that's going to lead you. So let him lead you. Let him take control of the situation and let him bless you. Amen? So what? Verses 14. Let's follow along on verses 14. "So when the people broke the camp, crossed the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at the flood of the stage during its harvest. Yet as soon as the priests carried the Ark and reached the Jordan with their feet and touched the water's edge, the water upstream stopped flowing. It would pile up in a heap a great distance. And they walked over on dry land." So God promises you something, but then he fulfills it. God promises you, and then he fulfills it. Is that something that God has worked with you in your life? God promised me. He promised me I was going to have a wife. He promised me this. He promised me that. And God in due time will complete his promises. Because he is not a liar. He does not lie to you. What's stopping you from completing that promise? What's stopping us from saying, "That's the promise that we have, the dream that we have in this church, where all our children will know God, when all our families will be restored, when we will praise God. Every single nation, every single ethnicity will praise God in this building. Would go out into the highways and boundaries and preach the gospel without the shotgun blow of the word of God into the face, but with the loving kindness, with the mercifulness that God has given us. We ain't nobody different. God is just loving everybody. He says, for God so loved the world. He didn't just love Gus or Renee or Pastor. He just didn't love AV team. He didn't just love David. He loved everybody. That's the most annoying person that you know. Two, it's that person that you can't talk to right now, that you need amends with. God loves everyone. So we got to just preach the gospel in love. And this that they shall know that you're my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another, I love you. I love you, brother. I've yet to hear that from everyone. Say, "I love you. I love you. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I love you, brother Dub. I know that you're the chairman of deacons and you can pull some strings, but I still love you." I love the AV team because I know that it's their way or no way. So I love them. No, I love everybody. I love everybody. That's the gospel. That's Jesus Christ in the nutshell. Love. When they crossed over the Jordan, Joshua goes, 12 people, go get 12 rocks and bring them back over here. It was like Olympics. So they went and go get 12 rocks in the Jordan. They got 12 rocks and they pulled them outside the Jordan River and they placed them outside the Jordan River. And they said, "Listen, when your children see this rock, they're going to know that we crossed over the Jordan River. They're going to remember that we crossed over the Jordan River because we pulled those out in the river." And that's a memorial. That's an Ebenezer, what the pastor was saying last week. That's what we're going to remember. And you got to remember when God saved you. You got to remember when God took you out of that storm. You got to remember when God took you out of those bad habits. Boy, you got to remember when God saved your soul. Then God saved your sister's soul and God saved your brother's soul. You got to remember what happened, how everybody broke down in your house and how everybody was crying. And how you, when you first fell in love with Jesus Christ, you got to remember those days and go back to those days and say, "God, I remember you. I remember you, God. I remember you touched my soul. I remember you healed my soul. I remember that promise that you claimed to me. I remember that that you told me my son was going to serve you. When is that day, God? I remember. I remember, God. I remember." That's what God wants us to do. It's to remember that day that he saved our soul. Remember that day that he healed us. And never forget. And never forget what he'd done for us. I was an adulteress. I was a sinner. I was a drug user. I mean, you want me to go on? I'm at a Baptist church, but I'll go on. And you got to remember those days and not forget what God has done for us. Not forget what he has done for us. I was out in the cold. I was hungry. I was desperate for you, God. Or for somebody, and you came and saved my soul. Let us not forget that. And let us continue on loving each other. And let us bless his name every time we enter his courts and sing hallelujah. When David strings those chords, when we get up and we shout and we cry and we thank God for sending us a senior pastor who loves us, and thank God for sending us the people around us, and we got to say, bring it on. Bring more. Bring my cousin don't know Jesus. I'm going to bring him to the Lord. Not bring him to the building, but bring him to the Lord. And God will honor that. And God will honor the hard work. And God will honor our work from inside our hearts. And he'll honor the work at what you're doing at your job, at your family. He'll honor the work that you do in your high school. He'll honor the work that you do in your teaching job or whatever. And he'll bless your life. And maybe not the pastor will see it. Maybe not the AV team will see it. Maybe Joe Powell and Celebrate Recovery won't see it. Maybe Pastor won't even see it. But you and God know. You and God know what he did for you. And I'm ever thankful for what he has done for me. And even though you explain it, even though you try to bring it in human terms, we're never going to understand, because that time that you had with God is personal. It's intimate. And no way you can understand. I cannot explain to you guys how it feels to be intimate with God. I could say it, I could scream it, but you won't understand until you experience it on your own. It's like that ride at Disneyland. Have you been on that ride? Then I know. Well, you don't know what it's like then. I can't explain it. It's awesome. And you try to explain it, it goes and it grows, and it, you know, you do all these things, but you can't really explain it, because God does something personal in your life. And if you don't know him today and you're in this place, it's not a coincidence. If you don't know God, and if you forgot about that experience that you had, if you forgot about that experience that you had a long time ago with God, I'm going to ask you right now to remember it. While David sings, I'm going to ask you to remember that day. And never forget that day. That's a special day that God touched your soul. And if you haven't, just plead with him this morning and ask him, touch my soul. Touch my soul and let me be transformed. Let me be renewed. Let me change. Let me think different. Let me act different. You know what? Let me just praise you today. Let me just give you everything I got for once. I give you partiality, God, and I know it, and you know it. Or I've given you everything I got, God, and you know it, and I know it. God, honor, bless. Even in the midst of the storm, even when the sky is dark, even when you don't understand, go through it. Because if you follow with me in that same chapter in verses 24, look what it says, something beautiful. Chapter 4, verses 24. He did this. Chapter 4, verses 24. He did all of that for Joshua and his people, who he loved. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it so that the people of the earth might know, that you might know him personally, that they might know who God is, that his hand is so powerful, that he did it so they could know that God is powerful, and that you may also know to fear your God, fear your Lord, fear the Lord, which means shun all evil. It is written, get away from me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship God and God alone. It is written, I am saved by grace. It is written, and throw it in his face. Hit him with it. Just hit him with it. Hit him with it and hit him with it and hit him with it. The word of God, the scripture. Jesus uses scripture to go through problems in life. Jesus uses scripture to go through the situation that you and I are going through right now. So that we may turn around and say, God, you did that because you love me. And you did that because your mighty hand is powerful. And also, you did that so that I could fear you and know who you are personally. That is our great preparation. Let us prepare ourselves. Sanctify yourselves, Joshua says. Get ready. Rawr. We're taking over. Let us praise his name. Hallelujah.
Really?
Praise his mighty name, remember, and get ready. Because we're taking the land. We're taking everything. And we ain't giving nothing to the devil. Nothing to Satan. No child of mine, no descendants of mine will ever see, will ever hear, will ever do anything that he wants to do. Because we're declaring it right now. The mighty hand of God is powerful and he is upon our church. His church. In the name of Jesus.
Let's stand together, please.
Hallelujah.
Spring of 83 is when I came to faith in Christ. Thank you for bringing that to my heart this morning. You are my strength. This morning, as we share this invitation song, if you've been a visitor to our church for a while, and maybe today's that day that you find that the challenge has come to your heart of joining and getting busy for the Lord here in Winton, we invite you to come this morning and let us know that. Maybe this morning you're faced with the fact that you don't know for certain if you have eternal life in Jesus Christ. We invite you to come this morning as well and let that be known. We have people here who would love to talk with you and share with you. And we also have an altar that if you want to pray this morning, we invite you to come. I'm going to ask Dub and Pastor Renee, would you stand at the front as well this morning? If you have concerns, you want prayer, please come forward. Bring someone with you to pray with you. Don't be alone. You're not by yourself. Look around you. There are people here who would love to encourage you. Lord, you are strength. We give this time to you. Move through your people in Jesus' name. You are my strength like no other, strength like no other reaches to me.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.